The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
And it's a Thursday. Welcome to it. Oh, boy. 12 days until Election Day. Let's see what else. There's so much going on. I'm Nicole Sandler. We are broadcasting live at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, on the Progressive Voices Network, on, NicoleSandler.com and my own streams, going out to a number of different internet radio stations like AirProgressive.org, FYI Nation, Netroots Radio, Verdant Square Radio, and others that I'm probably forgetting about, and I'm sorry if I did, and others that I honestly don't even know about. I hear all the times, like, I heard you on such and such a online station, and I didn't even know they were carrying the show. So, but that's how we roll over here. However you listen, I'm grateful. We are also streaming video. We are back on YouTube again. YouTube, you working? Hello, YouTubers. We're on Facebook Live. We are on Periscope, and we are on Twitch. I'm working with our friend Paul to try to figure out how to, you know, get the stream out to all those outlets without it overloading my computer. So fingers crossed and knocking on wood laminate. And here we are. You know, I think every day through November 3rd and then beyond is going to be a challenge. Just so you know, as of today, early votes for the 2020 election have now passed 47 million. 47 million votes have already been cast. That number exceeds the entirety of early votes in the 2016 election. So, up until Election Day, which in 2016 was, what, November 8th, right? We've already had more people vote than voted in all of early voting 4 years ago, and we still have 12 days to go. So that's a good thing. TikTok. No, I'm not on TikTok, James McPhear. And for a number of reasons. First of all, I think TikTok only allows short videos. Second of all, I don't really trust TikTok. I know I shouldn't listen to Trump, and I don't. Just TikTok is a thing that, you know, yeah, I'm not really into. But if you tell me they do long form videos, I don't think they do. But you check it out and let me know. Who asked me? James McPhear in the YouTube chat room. So that happened. Still 12 days before Election Day, and we've already passed the early voting totals for 2016. So that's enthusiasm. My worry and what keeps me up at night is, are they only enthusiastic on one side, or is it both? Or, you know, I don't know. I guess we'll find out in 12, 13, 14, 15 days or so. Real quickly, while I'm on the subject, I need to thank a few people because David actually went out to our mailbox today. We don't leave the house very often. We're older, you know, COVID, in that danger group. So, but thanks to listener Nancy from Washington, who emailed me last night to say she sent me an early birthday gift. Thank you, Nancy. It arrived, and I so appreciate it. As well as Peter of San Luis Obispo, California, Patrick in New York City, Carla in Maryland, David, who I believe is in Denver, but I'm not really sure, who just sent me an amazing early birthday gift yesterday, and a new monthly subscription from Kush. Thank you, all of you. I know I keep saying, yes, my birthday is November 4th, and what I really want for my birthday this year is for everyone to vote, please. And vote for Joe Biden, because we need to get Donald Trump the hell out of the White House. You know, if you also want to send a donation, I know last year I did like a fundraiser for my birthday, but I felt really weird about it. You know, I, as much as this show runs off of your donations, that's what pays my salary. I still hate asking for money. It's why I never went into sales. I'm just not that person. So Your donations are more than welcome. They are so appreciated. So anyway, NicoleSandler.com. You can click on the donate button. And thank you. And share the show. That helps as well. All right. So there's a lot of news. No, and Diane Russell in the chat room, I just looked up and saw, our nation won't survive another year of Trump. We won't. We really won't. And I worry. And I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, and I'm trying not to awfulize things, and I'm trying not to cloud my positive aura with negative thoughts. But sometimes you just can't help. We'll see what happens tonight. Tonight is the second and final debate. Of course, there were supposed to be three, but Donald Trump chickened out of one. Didn't know that tonight was going to happen, frankly, but apparently it will. I just don't trust him. He's going to pull some kind of shenanigans tonight. And I hope Joe Biden is prepared for whatever he throws at him. And if Donald Trump starts in with the Hunter Biden bullshit, I hope Joe says something to the effect of, "You want to talk about our kids? Let's talk about our children, shall we? Let's talk about Ivanka and her Chinese trademarks. Let's talk about Don Jr. and who bought 100,000 copies of his book, the RNC. There's so much that he can go after when it comes to, if you want to talk about capitalizing on the parents' name and success. I retweeted the best tweet this morning. Let me see if I can find it because, it was so good. And it was Joshua Holland, actually. Here it is. Joshua Holland tweeted this originally. I retweeted it. He wrote, "The Bidens are all about leveraging their family name for profit, which is why I attended Biden University. And I'm having a Biden steak tonight, accompanied by a Biden wine. Then a Biden Select coffee. I've got Biden home furnishings, and I smell great because I use Biden perfume. Oh, I even have some Biden fashions and Biden ties, or not." All right, so let me clever, right? It's opposite world, and it's projection, and this is what Donald Trump does. Everything that he accuses other people of doing is exactly what he does. So you know that he. He sat for an interview, I think it was on Monday, with Leslie Stahl for 60 Minutes. They do this on 60 Minutes. They've done it for decades. They interview presidents and challengers in the days leading up to an election. And so Joe Biden was on 60 Minutes, I believe, last week, right? But from the moment we heard that Donald Trump stormed out of his 60 Minutes interview taping with Leslie Stahl, Trump has been whining like that whiny little bitch that he is about how unfair everybody was to him. It was everybody so unfair.
I'm not a baby.
Yeah. Well, then he threatened to release the whole interview because the White House also taped it, because he think they were going to edit his words? Yeah, claiming it would. And then Trump said, "I'll show them." And he's been threatening, "I'm going to release this whole thing and wait till you see." He said it at his rally last night. "Wait till you see what we do to 60 Minutes." So today he released the entire interview. It runs just shy of about 40 minutes. But I watched it. And I'm still trying to figure out what it is he did to 60 Minutes. CBS released a statement on his move.
CBS News has released its own statement saying, quote, "The White House's unprecedented decision to disregard its agreement with CBS News and release their own footage will not deter 60 Minutes from providing its full, fair, and contextual reporting, which presidents have participated in for decades."
For decades. So he did, again, trying to figure out what it was that he showed them by releasing this tape, other than the fact that they were videotaping it, but they didn't have the microphone direct feed. So it was kind of hard to hear. I mean, it's not that it was hard to hear them, but they weren't, it was like they're back here. They're not on mic. So, but anyway, at the beginning, you knew it was going to be uncomfortable when at the beginning of the tape that Trump released today, was before the official interview began. And he's already bitching at her, saying he doesn't want any tough questions.
Are you ready for some tough questions?
You're going to be fair.
I'm going to be fair.
Just be fair.
But last time, I remember you saying to me, bring it on, bring it on.
No, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for fairness. And so.
You're going to get fairness.
Okay, it's hard to hear, right? Because they're not on mic. But basically, she's saying, you're ready for some tough questions? And he said, just be fair. And she said, I'll be fair, but I'm going to ask you tough questions. Oh, no, that's not what I want. So he didn't agree to tough questions. That was one of his problems, that she asked him tough questions. Oh, my God. If you wonder what ticked him off so much, what Leslie Stahl could have done that was so egregious that he stormed off? This appears to be the segment. And this, thankfully, CBS released this segment themselves, so the audio is better.
The biggest scandal was when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign.
Well, there's
Leslie.
No real evidence of
there's
that.
No evidence.
There is.
No,
it's all over
no.
the place. Leslie,
sir,
they spied on my campaign and they got caught.
Can I say something? You know, this is 60 Minutes.
Yes.
And we can't put on things we can't verify.
You won't put it on because it's bad for Biden.
We can't put on things we can't verify.
Leslie, they spied on my campaign.
Well, we can't verify
it. It's been totally verified.
No, it hasn't.
It's been, just go down and get the papers.
What papers?
They spied on my campaign.
What
they got
papers?
Caught.
No.
And then they went much further than that.
No.
And they got caught.
No.
And you will see that, Leslie. And you know that, but you just don't want to put it on the air.
As a matter of fact, I don't know that.
Okay.
And you're out there.
So why don't you get back to your interview and let's go.
Okay. And then they got back to it, but only for a few minutes, because then he, you know, they gave him like a 5-minute warning and said, okay, we're almost to the end of this part. Then the vice president's going to come in. They were going to do their walk and talk thing that they do all the time, you know, walking around the edges of the Rose Garden. But Donald Trump up and said, nah, we've got enough. That's it. I'm done. Because he said she wasn't fair to him. She was being a journalist. The problem with Donald Trump is he's used to only sitting for interviews with yes men and yes women. Now, not too many women. Then he just doesn't like women. He wants to grab them by the pussy, but he doesn't like them and he has no respect for women. God forbid one be in a position of authority where they can actually ask him questions. Because female journalists seem to be the segment of society with whom he's got the biggest problem. One last clip I want to play for you, where Donald Trump admitted in this interview that he wants Amy Coney Barrett, to undo what's left of the Affordable Care Act.
If the Supreme Court ends this with Obamacare,
We'll have to see what happens. It's got a ways to go. I mean, we'll see what happens. I think it'll end. I hope that they end. It'll be so good if they end. Because we will come up with a plan.
We'll come up
with it. Yeah, we will.
But you said it would already.
We have large sections of it already done.
Sure you do.
And we've already come up with plans. Take a look at your various secretaries, various plans that we've already come up with. And also,
how can we look at it?
Part of this country has
it doesn't
private
exist.
Health insurance.
Yeah, we know about the private health insurance, you moron. The thing is, so there's a picture that the White House released of Kayleigh McEnany putting this giant binder into Leslie Stahl's hands, and she sort of, you know, leans over because the thing is so big and heavy. They claim that is Trump's new health care plan. But there's another picture where she opens it, the pages are blank. This is the perfect analogy for Donald Trump's reign of terror. He is an empty book. He's filled with empty pages. He says a lot, but nothing comes out. I should say he says a lot of words, but nothing comes out. By the way, Joe Biden also sat for an interview with CBS News. I believe it was yesterday. I think it's supposed to air this weekend. The interviewer was Nora O'Donnell, And she asked him the question that he was asked at the last debate and the town hall about, you know, the stilted question, are you going to pack the courts? Well, you know what? Packing is what the Republicans have been doing to our courts for the last 4 years. The question to Joe Biden should be, what are you going to do to overcome the issues that we now have a very one-sided right-wing conservative court because the Republicans stole two Supreme Court seats? Anyway, Joe Biden, who said, you will know before Election Day what my plans are, actually, I think, has the perfect answer for Nora O'Donnell's question here.
If elected, what I will do is I'll put together a national commission of bipartisan commission of scholars, constitutional scholars, Democrats, Republicans, liberal, conservative. And I will ask them to, over 180 days, come back to me with recommendations as to how to reform the court system, because it's getting out of whack. The way in which it's being handled. And it's not about court packing. There's a number of other things that our constitutional scholars have debated, and I'd look to see what recommendations that commission might make.
So you're telling us you're going to study this issue about whether to pack
for 6 months?
Court.
No, whether there's a number
it's
of alternatives
packing the court.
That go well beyond packing.
This is a live ball.
Oh, it is a live ball. No, it is a live ball. We're going to have to do that. And you're going to find there's a lot of conservative constitutional scholars who are saying it as well. The last thing we need to do is turn the Supreme Court into just a political football. Whoever has the most votes gets whatever they want. Presidents come and go. Supreme Court justices stay for generations.
That's true. And maybe we need to look at not giving them lifetime terms. But the thing is, any rule changes they make going forward will not affect the sitting justices. It would be for justices appointed in the future. So Amy Coney Barrett, who I believe is 44, 48 years old, something in there, is going to be there a long, long time. And, you know, this is the problem with rushing things through. So Amy Coney Barrett, you know, they rushed her hearing so quickly that it wasn't until after the hearings were done that we learned that she sat on the board of directors of a private Christian school system with a very strict anti-LGBTQ policy or policies. No children of same-sex parents are allowed there. No teachers who identify as LGBTQ can teach there. Way to expose your kids to the world. And, oh, by the way, Mitch McConnell called the fallout from that report anti-religious bigotry. It's opposite world. And it's just, oh God. So we know nothing. And the question they could have asked her is not about her opinion on gay people teaching your children. Ooh! But did you sit on the board of directors for this school system that had strict anti-LGBTQ policies? Period. That alone should be disqualifying for a Supreme Court justice. Oh my God. All right, one other thing to let you in on. Last night, Barack Obama hit the trail. He did a rally, a drive-in rally in Philadelphia for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And he called out Donald Trump on his claim that, you know, he couldn't have handled the pandemic much better. Really? Hey, Barack, what do you say to that? Uh-oh. Oh, no. My audio doesn't want to play. Let's see if I can. Oh, here it goes.
I get that this president wants full credit for the economy he inherited and zero blame for the pandemic that he ignored.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? The job doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
Tweeting at the television doesn't fix things. Making stuff up doesn't make people's lives better. You've got to have a plan. You've got to put in the work. And along with the experience to get things done, Joe Biden has concrete plans and policies that will turn our vision of a better, fairer, stronger country into a reality.
Okay.
We literally left this White House a pandemic playbook.
Yes, they did.
That would have shown them how to respond before the virus reached our shores.
Yeah.
They probably used it to, I don't know, prop up a wobbly table somewhere. We don't know where that playbook went.
Ooh.
8 months into this pandemic, cases are rising again across this country. Donald Trump isn't suddenly going to protect all of us. He can't even take the basic steps to protect himself.
Say it, Obama. Oh, and you hear the cars honking because they're at a drive-in. Yes.
Just last night, he complained up in Erie that the pandemic made him go back to work. I'm quoting here.
He did.
He was upset that the pandemic's made him go back to work.
But this might be the part where he calls him lazy.
If he'd actually been working the whole time, it never would have gotten this bad.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
So look, here's the truth.
Yeah, what's the truth?
I want to be honest here.
Okay,
this
please.
Pandemic would have been challenging for any president.
True.
But this idea that somehow this White House has done anything but completely screw this up is just not true. I'll give you a very specific...
Okay, so there's a little bit of Obama going off on Trump for their fucked up response to the pandemic. 200 and I don't even know what we're up to now, like 30,000 Americans dead already. Over a million worldwide. But you know what? I don't want to say I don't care about the rest of the world. Of course I do. But I'm concerned about things here in the United States, and they so completely screwed up this response. And Donald Trump, all he does is say, I did a great job. I saved millions of lives. I put the travel ban in from China. No, he didn't. 500,000 people came in from China after his so-called travel ban. Everything the man says is a lie. And I certainly hope Joe Biden calls him out on those lies tonight. One other thing that Barack Obama seemed to delight in last night was calling Trump out for, well, the latest scandal to hit him.
Right now, as we speak, Trump won't even extend relief to the millions of families who are having trouble paying the rent
Bastard.
Or putting food on the table because of this pandemic.
Yep.
But he's been doing all right by himself. As it turns out, this was just reported in the last 48 hours.
Yep.
We know that he continues to do business with China because he's got a secret Chinese bank account.
Ooh.
How is that possible?
How is that possible?
A secret Chinese bank account. Listen, can you imagine if I had a secret Chinese bank account when I was running for re-election?
It's got a little Seinfeld going on there.
You think Fox News might have been a little concerned about that? They would have called me Beijing Barry.
They would have called me Beijing Barry. All right, so there you go. Little bit of the former president who, you know, look, I had my problems with Obama, but boy, you put him up next to Trump and he is the best thing since sliced bread. By the way, so the debate is tonight, and you know Donald Trump is in dire financial straits because his campaign blew through over $1 billion. That's what happens when you put people like Brad Parscale in. He's a guy who was a social media guy. And then Trump put him in charge of his campaign, and the guy bilked the campaign for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. So tonight, before the debate, which begins at 9 p.m. Eastern, Trump is holding another high-dollar fundraiser. Just hours before the debate, it's happening in Nashville, Tennessee, and ticket prices are as high as $250,000 a couple. Yeah, just, you know, in case you got some spare change lying around. Oh, man. All right, well, it is Thursday, and on Thursdays, we usually get together with Howie Klein. So we'll do that in a few minutes. He's got an interesting piece up right now at downwithtyranny.com, and the headline reads, Trump is an illegitimate president, and everything he has done in office must be undone, starting on day one with the removal of Coney Barrett. So we'll talk to Howie about that because it's a fascinating idea. It was written by, he refers how in this piece at downwithtyranny.com, it's the top story on the website right now, how he refers to an article in Common Dreams written by a guy named Mike Lofgren, who is a former Republican congressional staffer for John Kasich in the House and later the chief analyst for military spending on the Senate Budget Committees. So that's an interesting take for someone to come forward and say they need to nullify everything that Trump did, beginning with Amy Coney Barrett. I agree. I just don't know if the Democrats have the testicular fortitude to get it done. In other words, do they have the balls? I don't know. We'll talk to Howie Klein about that in a moment. So while our friends at the Progressive Voices are in a commercial break, I threatened to do this yesterday. I should probably do it every day until the election, because the more I look at the polls seem to be getting tight. They're tightening up, which is to be expected. So try not to get freaked out over that, I tell myself. We must implore every last person to vote. We need a landslide to bring Trump down. You're going to get sick of it, but we've only got 12 days left of voting. So take it away, Lauren Mayer, our take on Fleetwood Mac's landslide.
November 3rd's coming round. Our one last chance to get rid of this clown. In this crucial election, we all have to vote till a landslide brings him down. Oh, ballot in my mail, I'd fill you out. Find a legitimate drop box so there's no doubt. And I cast my vote early so that it arrives to end this whole season of Trump lies. Well, I've been counting the moments till we get rid of this schmo. As time moves faster, we can end this disaster if we vote for Kamala and Joe. Well, I'm not afraid of waiting in line if it'll turn our country around. Tell the stable genius, take his mushroom penis and evacuate the White House grounds. Cast the votes to evict this clown. We can take back the Senate and take back the town and have no more corruption from this insensitive Scrooge as the landslide takes Trump down. He can't contest the election if the margin is huge. Let's make a landslide to take Trump down. We need a landslide to take Trump down.
And now, this message from Midas Touch.
I said the other day to Suburban, Will you please like me?
Oh, I didn't say that. You know, that's so misleading the way.
Suburban women, will you please like me?
I say jokingly, suburban women, you should love me.
Suburban women, please vote for me.
The way you have it, it's like, oh, like I'm begging.
Will you please like me? Please.
If Trump can't handle 60 minutes, he can't handle four more years. Vote Joe Biden.
A few minutes of conversation.
Whoops, that's the wrong one. Ah, I'm on the wrong, how am I on the wrong page here? That's not right. All right, well, what I was going to play. Whoops. I'm not going to play that again. Oh, I was doing so well with no technical foul-ups, and I screwed it up again. I screwed it up going into commercials on Progressive Voices. Blah! All right, so you know what we'll do now? We'll do this, and then we'll do that. First, this.
You're listening to The Nicole Sandler Show on the Progressive Voices Network and NicoleSandler.com.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I have to walk away from my computer while we talk.
Okay. Concentrate
on our discussion rather than all the emails that are coming in of people asking me who to vote for down ballot.
Oh, are they asking you specifically in California, or they're asking you from all over the country?
Everywhere. You know about the, you know, what's going on in down ballot in Philadelphia? Someone just asked me. I don't know.
Vote for the Democrats right now. Because you know what? I had David Daley on the show yesterday. He wrote the book Rat Fucked and the new book Unrigged, all about gerrymandering and everything. And one point that the Democrats have not been stressing this year, and they should have, is that this is the year of the census. And already the Trump administration has pulled the plug on the census, so hopefully everybody filled it out. But when the results come in, the state legislatures who are elected in 12 days...
Not in all the cases, but in many of the cases.
Right.
But in a lot of very important state legislative battles where Democrats are going to take back chambers.
Uh-huh.
And I just did a post about this. The state legislatures don't draw the boundaries.
Oh, really?
Anymore. That's changed a lot. I mean, like, for example, the Democrats are very, very likely to take back both chambers in Arizona, but it doesn't matter because
it's
not drawn by the legislature. And that's the case in many states. Now, an exception is Texas.
Huh.
In Texas, where the Democrats have a very good chance of taking back the House, and that's really important because the legislature does draw the maps, and unless the Democrats take back the House, they're shut out because the Republicans control the state Senate and obviously the governorship. And unless the Democrats take back the House, the Republicans are going to totally screw with the Democrats who have been elected to Congress over the last few years and this year. So
wow.
It's very, very, very important. That's a really crucial race.
Right.
But in some of the states, it doesn't matter because it's independent commissions that do it. So you have to be careful about some of them being really crucial, like Texas, and some
and
of
Florida.
Them not mattering at all, like Arizona. On certain levels, but not in terms of
redistricting. But here in Florida,
I get so crazed in Florida,
yes,
because the Democrats only need 3 senators, and the Florida Democratic Party. And seems to have made some kind of a backroom deal with the Republicans that they're only going to go after 2.
Really?
So they're only spending significant money on 2 Senate races, and they have to have 3 to stop gerrymandering. And
unbelievable.
And Gary Former, who's the head of the Senate Democrats, he doesn't want to be Senate. He wants to be minority leader. Does not want to be majority leader. This guy should be taken away and thrown in the brim. The ocean.
I'm there with you. You know, in Florida, we have more registered Democrats than Republicans, and more Democrats have returned early voting ballots. Yet Republicans hold every executive they run. They control both the state Senate, the state House, and the governor's mansion. The only Democrat in that executive cabal is Nikki Fried, the agriculture commissioner. There's no reason for that. Florida has more Democrats than Republicans. The Florida Democratic Party just sucks.
Right. And they permit this kind of gerrymandering to go on. And they've literally decided to do it again. I mean, there are several really good winnable seats that could be targets. Doesn't mean they're definitely going to win, but they might. I mean, they have a chance to win. Certainly, Kathy Lewis is a state Senate seat. She almost won last time without their help, and they don't want to help her again. And you know, I hate to say this, but, you know, they don't want people of color running in overwhelmingly white districts. And the district she's running in is a white district. She's an African-American, and they won't support her. It's just, it's like you don't expect this from a Democratic Party, unless you know the Florida Democratic Party, then you do expect it.
You know, some months ago, Howie, we had on a candidate who I believe was running for the State House, Angie Nixon. And I forgot to tell you, a few weeks back, maybe a month or so ago, I saw her opponent dropped out. So she's in.
Yeah. Angie, she's in an all Democratic district.
Okay. Well, she's great.
Jacksonville. And Angie, when she won that primary, you know, she, as you know, she ran against an establishment racist Democrat, you know, just a psychopath. And the Democratic Party refused to help her. They said, you know, you're on your own. And the person she ran against is calls herself a Democrat, but she's absolutely Republican. She was supported by the Republican Party in every way, from her election to everything she did while she's been in Sacramento. And Angie ran against her. Angie beat her. And Angie, in the middle of the election, Angie got COVID and had a baby. And she's doing great now. And I mean, I love her. She's a role model for Florida Democrats. They should all be like her.
Right. Well, I only met her through you when she joined us on the show, and she was in the midst of fighting COVID, and she was pregnant. And I, when I saw that her opponent dropped out, you know, I tweeted to her congratulations. And, she, you know, she was very sweet. I was so impressed with her.
Yeah, she's fantastic. And Kathy Lewis is very different, but Kathy is incredible as well. Amazing candidate. If she were to win, that would mean that the Democrats have a seat at the table when it comes to maps. It means that the Republicans cannot just draw the maps without the Democrats.
That's right.
Important is that? The Democratic Party should be throwing millions of dollars into that race.
And now, they should be making it clear to the voters that this is what's going on, that how important those races are, especially this year, and they don't.
Right. Gary Farmer doesn't care about anything but himself. No, I'll tell you about another race.
Okay.
Also in Southwest Florida.
Okay.
Incredible woman named, let me get her name right. Oh, it'll come back to me. She was taking on a seat with no incumbent, so an open seat. A tough district. Wait a second, I might be getting this wrong. It's definitely a tough district.
Okay.
But there was no other Democrat running. She was the only Democrat running. And it is an open seat. The Republican incumbent retired. It's an open seat. So there was a primary in the Republican Party. And one candidate was an extreme right-wing insane person, like literally a neo-Nazi, or neo-fascist, I should say. I don't know if it's a Nazi, but it's a fascist.
Right.
So it's not much of a difference. And the other person was a more mainstream conservative Republican, not a liberal, a conservative Republican. Now, the way she was liberal, this woman was married, and her husband had decided that they can have an open marriage.
Aye.
And she decides that her boyfriend, who she could have sex with in Sacramento, was Gary Farmer, the Democrat. A little cross the aisle
cross-pollination,
anyway, Gary Farmer decided that somehow, I don't know how, it would help her if there was no Democrat running.
Oh, God.
So he called up the woman. I thought of her name, by the way. It's Rachel Brown.
Okay.
So Rachel Brown was a Democrat, a young progressive Democrat. And Gary Farmer called her up, and there was a witness in the car to this, and tried to bully her out of running. He did not want a Democrat in that race. He just wanted the two Republicans. You know, where is this guy's mind? Doesn't he understand how important it is that the Democrats have a seat at the table when they redraw the maps for 10 years?
Right.
10 years
ten
now.
Years.
And he's just thinking about himself. He's just thinking about his girlfriend who lost in such a gigantic landslide anyway. I mean, she didn't even come close. I think she got like, you know, 30-something percent against this. And now this neo-fascist is facing Rachel for the Senate seat. And of course, Gary Farmer wants nothing to do with the race.
Of course.
Unbelievable.
Hey, Howie, let me ask, is there anybody challenging Matt Gaetz, who is one of the more heinous members of Congress and a Florida man?
There is a Democrat running against him. The problem with that district is that it's so red that, I mean, literally, if Matt Gaetz were to lose, that would mean there would probably be 30 Republicans left in the whole House of Representatives out of 435 seats. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, and the guy is making a real case of it, and he's really working hard. He's doing a really good job, but it's just, I hate to say impossible. Because the DCCC says impossible for any seat that's over R plus three. I mean, they just concentrate on these seats, R plus three. Blue America is our average is of the real tough seats that we're going after is R plus 10.
Wow.
And the DCCC laughs at that kind of thing. And those are the races that we're fighting in the hardest. And those are the races that we're putting the most most of our resources behind. R plus 9
gotcha.
And R plus 11 districts.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want. That's what we want to win. So I hate to sound that way, but in Matt Gaetz's case, that there's no hope.
Right.
You know, there has to be some hope. There has to be a base. I mean, when you take Adam Christensen, for example,
mm-hmm.
he's
in
running
Gainesville.
In the seat that you know him. He's running in the seat
Yoho.
That Ted Yoho is giving up.
Yeah.
At least he's got a base. He's got Alachua County,
mm-hmm.
Gainesville,
right.
Which is totally blue. So he's got something as that he can go out from. He's got that part of the vote guaranteed, and now he's putting his concentration on the rural and suburban districts. If he wins those, he is going to be the next member of Congress, and it would be amazing.
This guy is
20, just turned 27 last week.
That's awesome.
He wouldn't just be representing North Central Florida, he would be representing everyone under 30 in this whole country.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Howie, can I play for you a spot I found? It's an anti-Matt Gaetz spot, and it's produced by a group called BendTheArc.us. Have you heard of them?
Yes, I know them.
Do you? Okay, it's a Jewish action. I'd never heard of them before, but this spot is brilliant. Let me just share it with you. Obviously, people watching the video streaming will see the video, but the audio is all you need. Here we go.
Congressman Matt Gaetz.
There is an attempted cultural genocide going on in America right now.
Everywhere you look in Haiti, it's sheet metal and garbage when I was there.
He's solid as a rock, and he's a friend of mine, Matt Gaetz.
Let's talk about Matt Gaetz.
In 2018, Matt Gaetz brought a known Holocaust denier as his guest to the State of the Union.
His guest, Charles Johnson, is on record stating that he doesn't believe 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust. Here's a photo of Gaetz' guest with neo-Nazi Richard Spencer.
Matt Gaetz Wait a second. Gaetz invited a known Holocaust denier to the State of the Union. What the f***?
In summer 2020, Gaetz endorsed Laura Loomer for Congress, a self-proclaimed proud Islamophobe and conspiracy theorist. Loomer has called Muslims savages and Islam a cancer. What?
So a sitting congressman invited a Holocaust denier to the State of the Union.
Yeah.
In October 2018, Gaetz spread an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory on Twitter about the invasion of an immigrant caravan. Conspiracy theories about the caravan inspired the El Paso Walmart shooting and the Tree of Life massacre, the deadliest anti-Semitic attack in U.S. history.
What's his explanation for inviting a guy to the State of the Union who doesn't believe in the Holocaust?
He said there was an unused ticket.
Oh.
Oh.
This asshole.
So Gates invites Holocaust deniers to the State of the Union.
Oh, dear God.
Defends the Proud Boys. Promotes conspiracy theories himself. And people are cool with this guy?
And then it says, no, we're not cool with this guy. Vote. Bend the Ark. Jewish action. That, Howie Klein, is a hell of an ad. I hope people see it. I don't know if they'll see it in the Florida panhandle, but it's good.
The woman who runs Bend the Ark is an old friend of mine.
Really?
And they're a great group. They do really good work. You know, there's a lot wrong with Matt Gaetz, and he was a drunk kid who had a rich daddy. His father was I think the Speaker of the House in Florida, the Speaker of the State House, or maybe the Majority Leader. But he was a very, very powerful Republican, and basically he left his seat to his son. It's like, you know, Louis the 15th left it to Louis the 14th.
Yep.
Louis the 16th.
Got it. Yeah.
So it's kind of a weird thing. And Matt Gaetz, has trouble finding a girlfriend. There's something wrong with this guy. In terms of women, and he had a boyfriend at one time who he called his roommate, and the guy was found dead in
Ooh.
Matt Gaetz's apartment.
Oh,
I don't know what happened.
That.
No one does. Yeah. And Matt Gaetz and his father illegally took the body across the state so that it wouldn't be found in Matt Gaetz's apartment. So, and everything that Matt Gaetz has done, including, you know, even small things, I mean, aside from the murder, he also, you know, got like, I don't know, 11 drunken driving tickets or something. And his father was always had the power to cover up everything about Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz is a very sick person. He thought he was going to date AOC at one time.
Oh my God.
She wanted nothing to do with him.
You think?
And he was like, you know, drooling after her.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That's depressing. All right. So Howie, before I brought you on, I did tease the fact that we were going to talk about this piece you have up at downwithtyranny.com. It's the top story there right now. The headline reads, Trump is an illegitimate president and everything he has done in office must be undone, starting on day one with the removal of Amy Coney Barrett. In reading it, I see that you take from an article written by this guy, Mike Lofgren, who is a Republican former staffer for John Kasich. But he wrote that Congress must wipe the slate of everything Trump has done. I love the idea. My worry is that the Democrats don't have the balls to do anything as important as this.
Yeah, well of course. So you have to fight for this kind of thing, which is, you know, all the way to the left, just to get into the Democrats to go towards the center. You know, what I'd like to see them do, and they seem to be moving a little tiny, tiny bit in this direction, is, you know, make the case that Amy Coney Island baby is an illegitimate Supreme Court Justice. Now,
right.
For me, she's illegitimate for several reasons, but the most important of which is that Trump shouldn't be appointing anybody to anything because he's the illegitimate president. That's why I'm making the case, wipe out every single thing he's ever done, like he never existed.
Right.
Every one of his appointees fired, every law overturned, everything he's done, gone. But Biden is going to do that. Never in a billion years would Biden do that.
No.
However,
yes.
They are making the case now that because Amy Coney Island was supposed to have at least two Democrats in the committee today. The committee reported
yes.
out, and they didn't have any. That means that report out of the Judiciary Committee was illegitimate.
Exactly.
They did it without it. They broke their own rules. And that is the beginning of a case that they could make after the Democrats win the White House and the Senate, that she is not a real Supreme Court justice, and just disrobe her and throw her out in the street,
so to speak.
Biden nominate a real Supreme Court justice.
That would be awesome. Yeah, and you know, although I have no illusions that Chuck Schumer would follow through on anything like that. After all, he had a very stern talk with Dianne Feinstein last week after she, you know, kissed Lindsey's ass for the great job he did on his hearing. Well, now I read that Dick Durbin, who sits on the Senate Judiciary Committee, will not be challenging Dianne Feinstein for the chairmanship of that committee because he's going to challenge Chuck Schumer for Senate, hopefully majority leader. Have you heard that?
Have not heard it.
I read it this week, and I don't remember where.
Every 2 years, Biden is going to do that. I mean, Durbin is going to do that, and he doesn't do it.
Oh, every 2 years?
Durbin is better than Chuck Schumer, but it's not that hard to be better than Chuck Schumer.
No,
Schumer did come up with this strategy that I like, actually, of denying the Senate Judiciary Committee a quorum, which in effect makes this whole confirmation process illegitimate. She can get appointed to the Supreme Court. I mean, Trump appointed her, and he's a legitimate president, but he did appoint her, and the Senate is going to confirm her, but the confirmation process is flawed,
yes,
and illegitimate, and a case will then be able to be made, even when after she's seated, that she doesn't belong on the court. Now, you may be right that Schumer won't follow through with that, but he did sort of get the wheels going in that direction. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't know if he's going to have the guts to do it, but he should.
He should.
And it wouldn't hurt him in New York.
Not at all. And the thing is, I think that's what people want. Erase
yes.
everything Donald Trump did, and including his two, there are three, actually, Supreme Court seats, but two of them were stolen.
Well, if he wasn't really the president,
yeah, then none of them are legitimate.
Or a legitimate president, right? Then none of his, not only Supreme Court, but all the other judiciary,
right.
All of the other judges on every court, the appellate judges, the district judges, all of them. The whole court system is packed with right wingers now.
I know. And the thing is that you know, again, the Democrats aren't good at messaging. They're letting the Republicans frame the conversation. And what they need to know is those seats, those judgeships were only open because Mitch McConnell would not hold hearings for any of Obama's nominees. He held open 200 seats in addition to a Supreme Court seat for almost a year. He did that on purpose so that when a Republican president came in, they'd have a whole slew, 200 judge openings to fill, and that's exactly what they did.
Right. So now the Democrats are going to have to ask themselves a very serious question. Do we get even with them by doing the same thing to the Republicans now? Do we, you know, screw them over royally? Or do we hold out our hand in peace and try to, like, stop this cycle and make everybody friends again?
Yeah, I'm afraid that Joe Biden wants to do your second choice. I want to go for the first.
Clear.
Therein lies the problem. You know, he's talking about putting John Kasich and some other Republicans in his cabinet. This is the same problem that Obama had. He thinks that they're going to play ball with him and that they're going to, you know, have a modicum of respect, which they will not. If he gives them a place in the cabinet, they're going to take advantage of him.
Listen, Nicole, we can revisit this in a few months. But I am telling you, there is no chance, zero chance, that there won't be Republicans in Biden's cabinet.
Oh, I know there will be.
No chance. 100%. 100% Biden will appoint Republicans to his cabinet without question. It's not that word if doesn't belong in that sentence that you just used.
I know.
If, when?
It's so frustrating. It is so frustrating. We just got, I got to get past the next 12 days. I am trying not to say things too critical of him. I want him to win. I voted for him. I want Donald Trump out of there.
I didn't vote for him.
What'd you do?
I voted for the peace and freedom candidate.
Who is that?
I don't know.
Oh, and again,
I didn't even know there was one running.
Let me say to those who heard me read the riot act to a caller a week or two ago, Howie Klein is in California. If I was in California, there's a chance I wouldn't vote for Biden either. But I'm in Florida, so there is no question. We need to win Florida in order to get Trump out of office. California is going to be blue. California's electoral votes are going to go to Joe Biden, whether Howie Klein votes for Joe Biden or not. He can afford to do that in California. I can't in Florida. You can't if you're in Pennsylvania or Wisconsin or Michigan
or
Ohio.
Ohio
or Iowa. Absolutely. You really can't. I mean, if you're in New York or California, go for it. But if you're somewhere where there's a chance Trump can eke out a victory, you have no choice. I just don't want people to think I read that guy, Ryan, the riot act, and I'm going easy on you. If he was in California, I'd say you did what you have to do. He said he voted down ballot, all blue, but he couldn't bring himself to vote for Biden. So he voted for the libertarian candidate, Jorgensen or somebody. I don't know.
You know what? God bless. I am not trying to convince anybody
to
vote against Joe Biden. I'm not trying to convince anybody to vote for Joe Biden.
I know.
Everyone should do what they think is the right thing to do. All the arguments have been made. I think most of Joe, from the polling, most of Biden's votes are not for Joe Biden.
Right.
He won't think that, of course.
Of course.
But most of Joe Biden's votes are, like your vote, against Donald Trump. People are voting against Trump. They're not voting for Biden. Biden is horrible. He is horrible. He's going to be so terrible, it's unbelievable. But is he going to be as bad as Donald Trump? Not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Not even close.
Like the Atlantic said today in their endorsement, they've only endorsed three people for president.
Uh-huh.
They endorsed Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
He was Abraham Lincoln.
Of course.
And they endorsed
FDR?
LBJ because of Barry Goldwater.
Okay.
And they endorsed Hillary Clinton because of Trump. And the fourth one they endorsed Biden, again, because of Trump. And they're not making any bones about it. You know, they said some nice things about Biden, you know, one or two sentences in a long, long endorsement, which was all about Trump.
Right.
And all of the polling that I have seen, everyone who asks the question gets the same answer. No one cares. They're not. They don't care about Joe Biden.
Right.
They're voting against
Donald Trump. Exactly. Well, that's where I am, and everyone that I know. I don't know anyone who's like, yeah, Joe Biden. He's a placeholder. He's a placeholder to get Donald Trump the fuck out of there, out of our hair.
I hope you realize that doesn't do anything really horrible. Did you see today that Nate Silver said there were about 20 million more voters expected to cast ballots than in 2016?
Well, I believe it because today, with 47 million people votes already cast, we've already passed the early voting totals for the 2016 elections, and there's still 12 days to go. So that makes sense. I think the turnout's going to be massive. I just hope there's a lot more of us than there are of them. Or voting.
Well, people are going to vote because of Trump. Some of them because they like him.
Yeah.
And others because they hate him.
Yep.
But he is what's motivating people to vote.
Yeah. He's motivated me to be more, you know, crazy about it all. Because, frankly, if we don't get him out of there, I have zero hope for the future of this nation. After January 20th, we can just turn off the lights because it's all over. If things are that serious, we need to get rid of this guy. Are you going to watch the debate tonight?
I don't know. If I don't watch it live, I'll watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, you'll hear the lowlights for sure. All right, Howie Klein, we got one more show before the election next Thursday, so I'll talk to you then.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot,
Tori. Thanks, Howie. Bye-bye. Find Howie Klein at downwithtyranny.com, of course. I'll see you back here tomorrow. Oh, with Nick Kristof of the New York Times. We've hit the big time here. See you tomorrow, everyone.